Titled my message this morning is to watch and pray. To watch and pray. I really believe God in this moment of time is getting his church ready. But we need to be in a place to watch and pray. Amen. There's going to be a winnowing fan in his hand to sort out. Allow the word to wash over you, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we would walk worthy of the calling of God, the Bible says. To have a walk worthy of the calling. Amen. And does anyone remember what I spoke on last week? Praise the Lord, that was revelation to you then. Revelation 12 I spoke on, is that right? It was deep, it was so deep she couldn't swim. It was deep. So, how do I look? So, today is watch and pray. A little bit of continuation on that, but it's about really your Gethsemane. Every one of us will go through a Gethsemane experience. The word Gethsemane literally means oil press, a place of squeezing, a place of being dealt with, a place of surrender, a place of allowing the Lord to do what he do, and surrender of one's will and purpose of God. Each one of us will have an experience in that in life. And to understand that is to be forearmed. Because even in the midst of your wine press, you can have people around you, but you can't experience people be with you. You can still feel alone when people are around you. Jesus was in his Gethsemane and he had his mighty three, and they couldn't even stay awake for an hour with him. And when he needed them, they weren't there. They were asleep. The reality was they couldn't have helped him anyway because no one could bear the cup except him. You're surrounded by people in an hour of need, but don't ever, ever expect people to rescue you in your hour of need. You've got to connect with the one who can deliver you and set you free. And sometimes in the midst of my deliverance is to walk and go to a place that sometimes I won't want to go. Jesus was led to a cross. He asked his father if he could take this cup from him, if at all possible. And it wasn't possible. His flesh craved for another, but his spirit was submitted and obedient to the things of God. So the wrestle happened, and out of the droplets of blood from his brow, he persevered and pushed through. In the book of Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him. So from the place of pain and pressure came a place of joy. Amen. So everyone will experience the Gethsemane. It will always squeeze out of you what is in you. Because that's what it means. It's a wine press, an oil press. It will squeeze out of me what is in me. All I've got to make sure is I've got enough oil in there. Amen. Yeah. Is my lamp full of the oil? Is my lamp full of the oil? No use crying out for the fire. I'm going off a little bit off track, but I'm going to say it anyway. No use crying for the fire of God if your wick is dry. All you'll do is smolder and smoke. There must be oil in the lamp. To reveal the light within me, I must be full of the oil. God will only ignite the oil. Amen. That's why we have to trim the wick. Because sometimes it isn't, and the wick will go on fire, and what it does, it burns. And then there, God's got to come along and trim the wick. Oh, the Holy Ghost will trim the wick so it's fresh. So when he ignites it again, the wick draws on the oil. Amen. And it ignites and releases a flame, a light. Hallelujah. So if you're going to ask for the fire, make sure there's oil in the lamp. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because the fire is a two-edged sword. It doesn't just deal with those things without. It also deals with those things within. Give me a slide up, son. That'd be good. Mark 13:33, Mark 14:38. I've got about five scriptures. We need to get through them. Luke 21:6, 1 Corinthians 16:3, and Revelation 3:3. Mark 13:3 says, take heed. That word actually means watch. You can double the word up. It could say watch, watch. Watch, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. I believe we're living in such a time that it's absolutely crazy what is happening. When you've got women in the Woolworths aisle over a couple of bog rolls, I mean, absolutely crazy. Things are crazy, and they're still buying them. I went there yesterday morning. I put an order in. You know, the guy's ordering, you're guaranteed to get them. I said, great idea, I did that. I had to wait 3 days for my order to come through. Went there, didn't get them. I said, that's fantastic. She goes, oh, we ran out. I says, I was told that you do all your deliveries early and the people come in. Oh, well, that store does, but we don't. So I said, oh, Jesus, you know, you do need the essentials of life sometimes. Oh, Jesus, I need some. Anyway, I went in there and I seen women walking out of there with trolley loads. There's a guy on the streets, he's got a ute parked up with pallet loads, selling them on the side of the road. I saw a man walking through the streets of Perth asking for $2,000 for 12. I mean, the world's going crazy. I mean, over a toilet roll, for goodness sake. But I'm telling you now, it's amazing what fear can do. Hear me, these are the signs of the times. You'll probably it again. It'll probably be something else. It might be shampoo. I'll be safe in that one. It might be something. It could be anything. They can just pick up anything and they can make it happen. I'm telling you, we live in a crazy world. The Bible speaks of the beginning of sorrows. The beginning when the people act and react to the lack of control they have over their problems. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Watch and pray, enter temptation. Watch and pray, lest I enter temptation. If I'm watching and praying, will I enter temptation? No, I shouldn't. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is. The spirit is always willing, but the flesh is always weak. Wherefore, Luke 21, watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Next, please. 1 Corinthians 13, 16, 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. There is something about watching. I'm trying to get a point across. Watch, Revelation 3 and 3. Be watchful and strengthen things which remain that you are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, you have received and heard, hold fast, repent. Therefore, if you will not, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour I will come upon you. So there's a watching without, but there's also a watching within. Psalm 141 and 3. Set a guard, O Lord, against my mouth, or over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I've got to watch what comes out of me. I just don't watch what's happening out there. I've also got to watch what's happening in here. I've got to watch my heart. I've got to watch my attitude. I've got to watch what I'm thinking about. I've got to watch it. And if you don't watch it, no one else is. You are responsible for your own actions. Therefore, I've got to make sure that I'm on watch. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We've got to be on watch. The Bible tells me to watch. Watch what? What do I have to watch? Channel 7, Channel 9, Eagles. What do I have to watch? I don't know. What do you have to watch? He says, watch and pray. May I say this? If you don't watch, you'll not know what to pray. Because they walk hand in hand. Watch and... He doesn't say pray and watch. He says watch and pray. You've got to watch what's happening. I know the signs of the times. Jesus says to them, you can discern the seasons that you're in by the clouds or whatever's happening on the day, but you can't discern the signs of the times. In other words, they're not watchful with a spiritual eye. They can see what's happening on the earthly realm. You have to have a spiritual eye to watch. You've got to know the season you're in. You've got to understand what's happening around you. Not to sensationalize things. I mean, honestly, we could sensationalize toilet rolls right now, but we won't sensationalize. You've got to understand what is happening. These are signs of the times. And when fear grips, people go crazy because there is no hope in fear. Are you with me? People react and act as, I mean, there was this one old lady, she slapped this young girl in the middle of Woolworths over 6 toilet rolls. She gave her a backhander, they're mine. And she, the young girl, the old woman took them. Mind you, the young girl went to a trolley and there was like about 1,000 rolls in there. You know? So, where there is fear, we lose perspective. Where there is fear, we lack the wisdom. Where there is fear, it causes me to act and react in an ungodly manner. Amen? I must be about, I must watch what is happening. Jesus asked them in the Garden of Gethsemane, turn with me to Mark 4. I've read that. Mark 14:38. Watch and pray lest you enter temptation. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked his disciples to do what? To watch. He said, watch. He actually didn't say pray. He just said, watch. In one gospel, he said, pray. The other three, he said, watch. He said, watch. Why did they have to watch? Did he ask the disciples to watch? Had he taught them to pray? Had he already taught them to pray? Yes, he did. You pray like this. So they were taught how to pray. I can teach you how to pray. But the best way to get to learn to watch is to watch what I'm doing. Jesus asked them to watch because he wanted to give them a life lesson in how to watch the things that were happening in God. When pressure's on, he wanted them to watch how he dealt with the pressure. He wanted them to watch how he dealt with his will. He wanted them to watch how he dealt with a situation of lack. He wanted them to watch him pushing through where there was way for him to go. He had to bow his knee and he had to surrender his will. He wanted them to watch that. He wanted them to watch him conquering his fear. He wanted them to see what it was in your Garden of Gethsemane that you can get and still be a victor. He needed them to watch, and yet they fell asleep. They fell asleep so much when on the road to Emmaus, he was talking to them about the garden experience and they couldn't respond to them because they were asleep. They had to watch him get up from disappointment when he had asked them to pray, asked them to watch with him for just an hour. And he went back to them and they were asleep. And he woke them. It was an estimate. What? Couldn't you watch with an hour? And then he went again, seeking his father. He came back and they were asleep. He wanted them to learn when they got up from that place that he didn't hold anything against them. He let them sleep, it says. And he continued on. When you're sometimes in your Gethsemane, Sometimes we want our people around us. But hear me. When you're in your Gethsemane, what you need is not people. You need the presence of God. You need the presence of God. Because some people cannot relate to your Gethsemane. Some people cannot connect with you in your Gethsemane. Some people cannot understand the pressure around your spirit man or your soul in your Gethsemane. There's only one person that can do that. God Almighty. He got up, not disappointed. He got up. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't say, I'm disappointed in you. He got up, righteous, holy man that he was, and kept on going. He refused to allow disappointment to get around. He refused to allow disappointment of other people to get around his spirit. And so often when you start to draw, and you're in that place of need, you're in that place of help me, help me, help me, and you start to lean on people. Learn this lesson early. People will let you down. And it's not that they mean to let you down. They just don't have the weight of your grievance that you've got. They can't feel it. They're not experiencing your Gethsemane. It was not their Gethsemane. It was his Gethsemane. He wanted them to learn something from that. People can learn when I'm going through something. My righteousness, walking right, speaking right, doing right in my pressure time. They can learn that. But please don't draw from them. Because if you draw from them, it will let you down. You will have to experience your Gethsemane for you. And guess what? Immediately the angels came and ministered to him. They would have learned that heaven answers your prayers. They would have learned that God moved the mountain. They would have learned that the presence of God can surround you and give you joy for your mourning. But they were asleep. So they had to experience themselves. In the midst of my Gethsemane, in the midst of my issue, my problem, sometimes as church folk, and if I want to mature in this, and if I want to go deeper in the things of God, you've got to learn that people love you, but people are not perfect. And neither am I. They're not perfect. And so people will do imperfect things, and so will I. Amen. He must be the source. He must be my source. No one else's source. He must be my source. Are you with me? They could not watch. They fell asleep because they never understood the gravity of his hour. They didn't understand the gravity of his hour. I mean, he dropped like great big sweats of blood drops. I mean, he was in an intense place. He wanted that cup to pass from him, if at all possible. But it was impossible because he fulfilled something that was contrary to his flesh. And sometimes God will want you to fulfill something that is contrary to your flesh. The vision this morning, the white pillar and the white thing in the temple, distraction, it was not of the pattern. It was never supposed to be in the house. It looks good. It looks right. It's ornamental. Nothing unpure about it. But it distracts me from the purpose. And sometimes in life, this temple, which I am in Williams, that says that this temple will sometimes have something in it that will distract me from coming to the purpose and the presence of God. I've got to get rid of everything that distracts me. Are you with me? Can you not wait for an hour? When the natural realm was crying out and trying to bring limitation and trying to cause a slumber, a little folding of the hands. Truly, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. The master in the middle of his greatest battle, and people could fall asleep. A little bit off topic. I think it's Luke 2, somewhere around there. Jesus was 12 years old. His mum and his dad, Joseph, went every year to the temple to offer. Is that right?
Yeah.
It says they left Jerusalem and they were approximately a day's journey or two or three days' journey out. Perceived that Jesus was with the relatives. When they asked, he wasn't there. I mean, that really brings into question their parenting. Because there's no way on this earth would I have kids to spend a couple of nights away from me if I didn't know where they were. So it's speaking of their parenting. And when they realized, they went back. They had celebrated the feasts. They had done all their sacrifices. They celebrated everything that was good. Yet they didn't have the presence of God. And if you're not careful, if I don't deal with those things, I can form into a pattern where I celebrate stuff. Go into the house and, wow, it's lovely, it's wonderful. Get in, shake my hands in the presence. But he's not with me. I've left him. And I need to go back to where he was and reconnect. And immediately the mother reconnected with him. It says he submitted unto her. He did acknowledge that it was about his father's business, but he submitted unto her. Amen? Never get into a place where you start celebrating stuff, where you start walking and thinking everything's great and wonderful, and you leave the child behind. You've got to make sure that I'm walking with him all the days of my life. I've got to deal with things in the house. I can't get caught up with the celebration of things and the celebration of him if I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Take heed and watch that no one deceives you. That's one of the things he says. Take heed and watch. What is to watch? What does it mean to watch? What does it mean to watch? Be aware. Be attentive to. See what's around you. Watching gives you the wisdom to be able to do and to react and act. Watching gives you the ability or the wisdom to act and react. I need to watch. Another word for watch. Those who wait upon the Lord. I'm waiting. Attentively. Watching. Eyes open. Ears open. Attentively on the things of God. I've got to do that. Otherwise, I can just pray and pray and pray and pray without the watching, and I can be praying for everything but what I need to pray for. I can be praying for next door's cat. I can be praying for my neighbor's dog. I can pray for anything except praying for something like coronavirus and people that might be in fear or whatever's happening at the moment of the day. God expects me to stand in the gap. And in the gap to see so much healings, I'm standing in the gap for this spirit of fear that's trying to permeate through the world and get people on edge and causing people to fight and panic. Amen. We've got to watch. We've got to pray. It's a sign of the end of the age of rebuilding another temple, whose temple we are. Turn with me. We're going to read Matthew 24 together. Matthew 24. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the building of the temple. Jesus said to them, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be another, they shall be all thrown down. May I say, we're moving in another dispensation that God is building you. You are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. Don't look at the word appearance of God building something. He needs to build you and I. You are the carrier of the presence of Christ in you, the hope of God dwells within you. You are the temple of God. He's not going to build another big house. He's not going to build another big temple. You are the temple of God. A new temple is being built. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us what these things will be. The sign of your coming at the end of the age. Jesus said to him, take heed. Watch. Watch that no one deceives you. The first thing he tells the church to do not be deceived. The very first warning bell, ding, 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 for the church, do not be deceived. And one of the greatest deceivers is not the devil. It's you. It's me. I carry around two unbelievers all the days of my life. Your soul will lie to you because it's not yet redeemed. It's not yet born again. It's got to be changed. Your flesh will lie. It's all right. You can do that. You can fulfill that. You and I carry two unbelievers with us every day. One will be born again. The other one has to die. The thieves are the two examples of the two thieves that rob you. Jesus' spirit, the thief that repented, your soul, the thief that died, your flesh, refusing to repent, refusing the presence of God, absolutely refusing God, blaming, blaspheming God, that's the flesh. Your soul says, forgive me, help me to come into paradise with you, you'll be with me. He had to get born again. He had to be changed and challenged, and he received. Amen. You've got to understand that when God wants this house, he wants us to take watch that we do not get deceived. It's because, and if you're not in your word, if you are not in your word, everything must align to the word. Revelation says his word is above his name. In other words, if someone comes to you and says, thus saith the Lord, and it's not aligning to the word, you forget. Because that is his word, his name is above that word. You must know the word. Are you with me this morning? I must be a student of the word. I must get to know the word. The word is a person. He is the word. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And of wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation. When it talks about nations, it's people groups. Peoples will rise against peoples, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences in various places. Is it happening? Yeah. Kingdom against kingdoms. Next one, please. All these are the beginning of what? That tries to bring a sorrow on you, because when you get a sorrowful heart, you react. You go into a place of self-preservation. You don't want people to get around you. You want to preserve yourself. So it's sorrow of getting around people. And when you get sorrow of heart, is the opposite of what God wants to bring. For the joy of the Lord. Sorrowfulness will weaken me. If joy strengthens me, the opposite of joy is sorrow, it will weaken me. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Oh, we don't like that. We'll skip verse 9. And we will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We'll be hated for what? His name. They won't hate you for you. They'll hate you for what you stand for. And then many will be offended. How many? We'll betray one another and we'll hate one another. Christians! They will be offended. They will betray one another, will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. You see, I spoke it last week. False prophet, he is the one in Isaiah 9:15. He is the tail. The false prophet will come and sow seeds of discourse. And he is the tail. And he drew a third of the stars from? From heaven. 9:15 says the false prophet is the tail. And lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow. Why does it grow cold? Because lawlessness abounds. Where? In the temple. I start to rule myself. I start telling God how I should. I tell God what I should be doing. I tell God how I should act. I tell God if I'm coming to church or not. I tell God what I'm going to give him. I'll tell God if I'm going to either tip him or tithe him. I'll tell God. And now you've become your own God. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And growing cold is a process. It's not a snap freeze. All right? It's a gradualism. It's gradualism. But he who endures what? Well, what's he enduring? All the above. He's enduring all the above. He's staying in the spirit. He's not fulfilling his flesh. He's walking the things of God. He's pushing through many. He's not leaning upon others. He's leaning upon God. He's made God his source. He's pressing in. He's saying, God, change me. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached and the whole world as a witness to all nations. And the end will come. Next one, please. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, we're going deep, but it's really very simple. The abomination, when there's desolation in your spirit, man, it's an abomination before God. When he sees the abomination of desolation in the heart and the life of the church, there should never be a desolation. That your house should be filled. And it's an abomination to him to say that not filling it when he died for you. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the where? Who's the holy place? Who's the holy place? Where does God dwell? In you. Whoever reads this, let him understand. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. Elect's sake. Now, when it says elect, it does not mean the frozen chosen. It means those who are called out. The days will be shortened. And if anyone says to you, look here, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. Why? Because I should have been on watch. I should already know where he is. I should already know what should be happening in the heavens. I should already be hearing what God is saying. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. 1 John 2 verse 20. And 1 John 2 verse 17 to 27. We won't go there. We haven't got time. But it says this. And the Antichrist will come. And even so, many Antichrists have come. And they come out from among us, yet they were not of us. The Antichrist spirit. You've got to understand this. These are the last days. Antichrist means anti-Christ Jesus, anti the anointing and anti-God. Amen? Is the body of Christ a many-membered body? The Antichrist is a many-membered body. He will only copy what he sees. It is a many-membered body. There is a head. We don't know who the head is. But the body of the Antichrist is a many-membered body. And therefore, he says, many Antichrists that came out of us. Where did they come out from? Where did they come out from? The church. The offended. The angry. The upset. The antichrists. Oh, no, the gifts aren't for today. They're for yesterday. The antichrists. They are speaking against the anointing and the presence of God. People, most people that are this antichrist spirit are against the things of the kingdom of God because they've been hurt. So therefore, if they can't get healed, they'll hurt another. Hurting people hurt people. That's why it's imperative for them to be healed. It's crazy for a Christian to leave their church hurt when they are offended, when they and here with that offense on it, because it will fester into a wound. And you can put the smile on the dial, but what you've started to set up is something in the house that looks pretty. But he ain't in that. Great signs to even deceive, if possible, the very elect. There is an antichrist spirit that's growing more and more every day. And I'm not alarmist. I'm far from being an alarmist. I'm really, really laid back. I really am. I'm so laid back, sometimes you've got to wake me up. I'm really laid back. But I know that there's so many more people falling out from the presence of God because of offense. What they have to do is face their offense. And instead of saying to God, Lord, they've done this to me, they need to be saying, Lord, help me to change. Her love. Help me to love. Help me in my Gethsemane so I can stand up and speak. Help me to get out of my Gethsemane. If it leads me to us, let it be so. Jesus went from his Gethsemane to his cross, and the flesh had to die. Amen? So the offended must let go of the offense. I cannot make someone let go of their offense. I can go up to them and say sorry if I need to. I can go up and repent if I need to. But what they do with it is entirely up to them. Most important thing is I stand before God right. Amen? Always keep a short account with people. I better get going. Next one, please. See, I've told you beforehand, therefore I say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it, because you should be watching. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will some man be. Verse 28, for where the carcass or the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Do you know God's looking for eagles? He's looking for eagle saints that will soar above their storms, that will catch the wind of the Spirit. And get above what is happening underneath. Amen? And what you know what an eagle does when it's got might in its eye? It will keep soaring to a point where the mite can't breathe and it has to fall off. To deal with the problem, you just got to go higher. Hear me? To deal with any problem, just go higher. Immediately, it says the eagles were gathered. Immediately after tribulation, after the what? After what? You will go through tribulation. Of those days, the sun will be darkened. Now, we've read this in Revelations. The sun will be darkened. Who's? I said it last week. I'm not going to tell you. You still have to read it. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give his light. The moon's the type of the church, the reflector of the light. The sun is the Christ. No great revelation will be happening in that day. Amen. Samuel was the man, a young prophet boy, and it says, and before the lamp went out in the house, God brought a young man, Samuel. Amen. It will grow dim. It says, the moon will not give its light. The stars will what? The stars will fall from? Doesn't that remind you of Revelation chapter 12, verse 4? The tail drew a third of the stars from. The stars will fall from heaven. Who's the stars? I'm going to have to peg it back a bit. I'm probably going a bit deep. You are the stars of heaven. Genesis tells me I'm the stars of heaven. He says into 36 or 37 to Abraham, he says, your children shall be as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven. You are the stars of heaven. In other words, you have a light within you now. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Hear me. Judgments begins in the house of the... Where does it start? It doesn't start in the world. It starts in the house. He has to get the Antichrist spirit out of the house. That's why Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, is the only feast that has leavened bread. Passover has unleavened bread. The Feast of Tabernacles has unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. But the Feast of Passover has leavened bread. Leaven speaks of the leaven of the Pharisees. They didn't understand that. They thought maybe we need a couple extra loaves. He said, beware of what their doctrine is. Beware of their lies. Beware of the sin. So when there's a mod in the Passover feast, there's always a move of the flesh. Pentecost. A Passover, Pentecost. When there's a move in Pentecost of the Spirit, there's always a move of the flesh. Feast of Pentecost has leavened bread. Are you with me? That's why it's ridiculous for us to camp around Pentecost. We've got to move on. Did the disciples camp around Pentecost? Did they get out of the upper room? Did they leave it? Yes, they did. They had to get moving. And you and I have got to get moving. And then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in clouds. We won't go there this morning. On the clouds of heaven with the power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great shout of trumpet, and they will gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There's going to be a great gathering in the last day. Amen. I probably said too much this morning. Probably given you too much information. Turn with me to Isaiah 41. Where's my Bible? He's looking for a people that are prepared to watch. He wants mature sons and daughters that will watch and pray, that will wait on him to know what to pray about. And so their prayers are effective, that they're not missing the mark. It's nice to pray for next door's cat. It's okay to pray for the next door's dog. But if you want to affect the heavens, you better hear from heaven. 41. Where is it again? Isaiah 40, verse 31?
Yep.
That's it. It's rubbing off. Those who wait upon the Lord. I can change that word. Verse 31 and 40. Yeah, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord. When you're waiting, you're awake. If you're sleeping, you're not waiting. I'll just wait on you now, Jesus. No, that's not waiting. When you wait on Him, you have a mind set and fixed to hear something. You're positioning yourself to hear. That's what waiting is. You're watching and you're waiting to hear. Amen. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. They shall rise up like an eagle. The effort for an eagle is to get there, to get to the height it needs to get to. But after that, it just catches the wind. Do you know there's recordings of eagles flying 25,000 meters? Feet. 25,000 feet. Vultures flew a bit higher, but an eagle catches, soars with the purpose and the presence of God. Doesn't have to flatter. Might have to change direction sometimes. But the work is getting up there. And the first step to get up there is you've got to see yourself as an eagle. God never designed His saints to be chickens, scratching about the dirt, looking for their next feed or fix. You've been designed to soar in the heavens. You've been designed to be seated in where? Heavenly. You're designed for that. But the devil tried to be a chicken, scratching for your next feed, scratching for the next revelation, scratching for the next feeling of God. But if you know whose you are, you know who you are. I don't have to wait. I just let the feelings catch up to me. Amen. He's looking for His saints to watch and pray. You will have your journey, which will lead you to a cross. But after the cross, you will experience resurrection life. And you will get up transformed and changed. Amen. Jesus got up transformed and changed. So much change when those who offended Him, when Him, in the book of Acts, He never even had to talk about their problem. He never brought it up. Peter, did you deny me? I told you would. See, I was right. He never said it. See, a man of the Spirit will speak of the man. A man of the flesh will keep you anchored. Shall we stand this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Watch and pray. Jesus even warns us about it. He says, seek me while I can be found. Seek me while yet I can be found. That's what He says. God wants the fire to get into our hearts this morning. So we pray purposefully. We pray with them. Because when it's His word speaking out of my mouth, it's accompanied by power. Amen. He wants me to be a watcher and a prayer. He wants me to watch and pray. He wants me to be a man that will sit and wait on Him. He wants me to deal with my flesh. He wants me to stop pressing onto man and pressing into Him. He wants me to let go of every offense. Now, you've heard this many times, but I believe the Holy Ghost is really nailing it. He wants you to let go of any offense. Offense will stop you seeing. He wants you to let go of all pain of rejection, whatever the church might have done to you. He wants you to let go. Imperfect people are imperfect, and you. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to love. Amen. Be quick. If you're mourning, and you say, God, here I am. And there's position, don't get me wrong, there's positions that people are anointed to be watchmen on the wall. But you can't be a watchman to tell you everything you need to know. You need to watch for yourself. You need to hear God for you and your house. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you need a fresh touch from God, the fresh fire from heaven. You might be here this morning, you might need to remove something from the house. There's a lot of things that defile the house. One of the greatest things today that defiles the house, especially among men, is pornography. It defiles the temple. Rebellion defiles the temple. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. You just say to the Lord, Lord, if there's anything in me, I surrender it again afresh this morning. Anger, resentment, bitterness, hatred. I repent. I repent. Help me in my Gethsemane, Jesus. The house. Cleanse the house. Cleanse the house. You're coming back for a holy, upright people. Cleanse the house. I do that, Jesus. I need the power of the blood. And Lord, this morning I apply the blood to the doorposts and lintels of my heart afresh. And I ask you to sanctify the house afresh. For the Master's use. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost this morning. And we decree whom you've set free is free indeed. You said my sin is as far as the east is to the west. To those who confess their sin, He is just and faithful to forgive you of their sin. We thank you, Jesus. I don't have to confess it to people. I confess it to you. I confess my issues. Issues that flood out of me that shouldn't flood out of me. Those things that I draw from that I shouldn't draw from. Help me this morning in the name of Jesus that we can be that temple in this hour. We can be that house in this hour that there's a light upon the hill set by God. Lord, and we come against any works of fear in the name of Jesus. Lord, we recognize and acknowledge, Father, things in the world that just look absolutely crazy to us. But God, you're my strong tower. You're my rock. You're my fortress. And in you shall I trust. I'm not trusting on woolies and coals. I'm not trusting on any stuff. I trust you and you alone, Jesus. So God, we draw from you this morning afresh. God, we drink from your cup afresh. Quench my thirst. Quench my thirst for the things of God. Lord, forgive me if I keep falling asleep. Make me attentive upon the wall, that Father, I can see what's happening in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. We say, come Holy Spirit this morning. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Breathe on us afresh, Holy Ghost. Breathe on us afresh, Holy Spirit. Oh, we want the more of you. We want the more of you. We thank you. We ask you now, Father, as you pour it out, we receive it by faith. And now we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And we give you all the praise that you are God. And everything will bow its knee before you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Thanks for being patient with me. I know I had a lot to say, but I believe we're in an hour that he's going to give us an ear to hear.